Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to the crossover here on the Niners Nation Podcast Network. I am Rob Stats Guerrera, and today we are going to look at the week one opponent, the Chicago Bears. Before we get started, I want to remind everybody, please rate, review, and follow the Niners Nation Podcast Network. I always say, if you take the time to leave a review, we will take the time to read it. I'm joined today by Lester Wilfong of Windy City Gridiron. Lester, I have not spoken with you since Justin Fields was drafted. You were overjoyed that night, as I recall. Are you still feeling that way?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much the entire team was fired up at WCG that we got an actual franchise-worthy quarterback. Now, of course, he's got to do it on the field. His rookie year had some ups and downs, but, you know, he had a nice preseason. He had a nice training camp, and, you know, there'll still be some growing pains, but I think the arrow is pointing up for Justin Fields.
It's so interesting because, look, your team drafted a quarterback in the same draft class that mine did, but I feel like the paths since then have gone in such different directions. The way the 49ers have handled their quarterback situation, it's crazy. What is the feeling from Bears fans? Do they like that Fields played all last year? What's the feeling with how they've handled him?
It's funny you mentioned how you guys have handled your guy. It reminds me of something the Bears would do. It just was like it's a very clumsy situation over there for you guys. And as far as the Chicago is, I mean, everyone was split. I mean, the Matt Nagy plan was a horrible plan to start. You know, it's like he thought he had Mahomes and Alex Smith when he had, you know, Andy Dalton was the guy. And Andy Dalton was not established in the scheme. He was not established on the team at all. You know, so it was just a bad situation. I think if all things being equal last year, if he would have let them compete, I think Justin Fields probably would have, you know, actually taken that job from him at some point. But, you know, it was good he got the experience. Like I said, you know, there were some ups and downs a season ago. But, man, the highs were pretty high last year for Fields.
Okay, let's get into that a little bit. Obviously, they're going to face the 49ers this weekend. What I remember from last year is Fields struggling in a little in the passing game,
yeah,
but just running all over the place. I think he had over 100 yards on 10 carries. How much of what he did last year do you think we'll see this year? Do you think we just throw it out totally?
I think a lot of it is good for him as a rookie. I mean, he needed that experience under his belt. But as far as the way he was used in the offense, forget about all of that. Last year, he was very good, like among the league leaders when he was out of the pocket throwing the ball. He was among the league leaders when he was throwing with play action. He was among the NFL leaders when throwing deep. Those are three things Matt Nagy did not let him do at all last season. This year, the offense is designed around him. It's a Shanahan-esque offense. You guys are very familiar with that. Bootlegs, rollouts, play action. There'll be some deep shots from time to time. So, you know, Luke Getsy is making this his offense. I'm talking about Justin Fields. So, like I said, as fans, we're all excited what's going to happen here with Justin Fields moving forward.
When I look at this matchup, on paper, it seems like the 49ers are going to be able to pressure the hell out of Justin Fields. I mean, it's good that you mentioned he can roll out and use mobility, because I see such a mismatch between the Niners front seven and the Bears offensive line. Is that fair?
Yes, definitely fair. I mean, the Bears offensive line, they still don't know who they're going to start. I mean, right now it looks like it could be Sam Mustipher at center again. Lucas Patrick broke his hand. He has been practicing, but there's been no word if he's going to play center. He doesn't play center, he might play right guard. Tevin Jenkins has been playing right guard, but if Patrick starts at right guard and he goes to the bench, they have a rookie at left tackle in Braxton Jones, and then of course they have Larry Borum at right tackle. So, you know, there's some young question marks up front for the Bears, with the only guy that's really established is Cody Whitehair at left guard, but Cody Whitehair's coming off a really bad season last year. So there's some question marks up front for the Bears. They're going to rely on the scheme to kind of, you know, really help protect the quarterback.
Darnell Mooney, I mean, he flat out said Justin Fields is going to make teams pay, specifically the team we play in week one. Do you get the sense from what you hear from Fields that he does have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder when it comes to the Niners?
He's a competitor, so I'm sure he does. When he's had a chance to talk about it, he always downplays it. He says he's glad he ended up in Chicago. I mean, that's pretty much all he'll do. He's not going to be a guy that takes shots at the team or anything over there. So, you know, as far as him and Mooney, they have a great connection. They're really good friends off the field as well. So Mooney's going to always have his guys back. So with Mooney and Fields, the connection is real. They flash, you know, the entire training camp. So that's another guy. I mean, he's their number one by default. He doesn't look like a number one receiver, but, you know, he had a 1,000 yards a season ago. You know, he's going to be the most targeted Bear. He's a great route runner. He has great speed. So he should have a nice season for the Bears.
Let's flip it to the other side now. Would you feel more comfortable if Jimmy Garoppolo was starting this game or Trey Lance?
That's a good question. I think Lance provides some problems with his mobility, but, you know, Garoppolo's, I mean, he's a winner, right? I mean, he wins games there. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's where all the drama from a national perspective is, you know,
right.
They brought Garoppolo back. They redid his deal. It's incentive based. Like I said, it's very strange how they're handling the quarterback spot, because as Bears fans, we're used to Chicago screwing up the quarterback spot, and now it looks like there's drama for week one for you guys.
Oh, there's been drama for months. I think back to that game last year, though. I feel like 49er fans do not give it enough credit. Like, the Bears are in control of that game. It's 3rd and 20. And the Niners run a screen to Deebo Samuel because Kyle Shanahan is terrified to let Jimmy Garoppolo throw the ball downfield. And Deebo does what Deebo does,
yeah,
and just rips off a 76-yard play down to the goal line. That play turned not only that game, it turned the entire season for the 49ers. But it's not like the 49ers were just running roughshod over the Bears up until that point.
Yeah, it was a close game up to that point. Like I said, that's one of the few games where Justin Fields flashed a little bit. You know, he struggled early, but, you know, in the second half, he kind of picked it up. He had the big run on I think it was 4th and 1. He went like 20-some yards for a touchdown. You know, like I said, he flashed a little bit, and they couldn't close it out. And that play to Deebo, man, that was the one that really, you know, broke the Bears back.
that play on fourth down by Fields, like that, it had that upset 49er fans because we're all sitting there screaming like, yeah, we have a quarterback that we think can do that. And why aren't we playing him? It's still, I just watched the replays this week. Like, that is just a freak special play. He had another play where Fred Warner like blitzed and was pretty much like untouched coming at him, and he spun away from Warner. There are going to be a good number of 49er fans wistfully watching Justin Fields because there are a lot of 49er fans that wanted him to be the pick at three.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he was going to be the pick at three. And, you know, like I said, like Fields, I'm glad he fell to the Bears. You know, it just was a very strange situation. Mac Jones, a lot of rumors at the time. I know at the point when the Bears made their pick and they moved up to get Fields, as Bears fans, most of us thought they were going up to get Mac Jones just because that's Bears. That's what the Bears have done, you know. And the fact that it was Fields, we have a dynamic athlete with a big arm, you know, very accurate in college. You know, he has all the intangibles you want. You just got to put it together.
So from a defensive perspective, how are the Bears going to attack the 49ers? Because I don't like playing new head coaches in week one because there's no film on them. I know that you can go back and watch the Colts, but it's different personnel. So how do you think defensively the Bears are going to attack the Niners?
You know, it's a Tampa 2-esque defense. I mean, it's not the same, you know, the same defense that they had in the back in the day with Lovie Smith and those guys, but it's a similar scheme. They do a little more different stuff on the back end, but, you know, they want to keep the ball in front of them. They want to make, you know, just like they did back in the day, they want to make the offense make mistakes. You know, they're really high on punching the ball out. They had Charles Tillman in the camp. You know, he was teaching the punch out. You know,
the
peanut punch. I mean, this is the philosophy that Coach Eberflus brought over with him. And as Bears fans, we love it because it's the Lovie Smith, Rod Marinelli, that same era. You know, they track loafs. They expect you to go 100% at all times, practice, game, whatever it is. And if you're loafing, you're caught loafing, you know, you're called out. You know, it's the hits philosophy. You know, so it's they expect, you know, excellence from that defense. Going to take a little while because, like you said, there's a lot of guys there that's it's different to what he had with the Colts. A lot of young players. The secondary is young, but there are some talented players on that defense.
If there's an area of the 49ers offense that's vulnerable, it's definitely the offensive line. Do the Bears have the pass rushers to take advantage of a potentially suspect 49ers offensive line?
Well, I think your tackles are pretty good. I think your issues are more in the interior. And yes, we don't know what the Bears have in the interior. They signed Justin Jones, a free agent from the Chargers. You know, he played a little bit in preseason. You know, he's got a good first step, but, you know, they signed him to be the three tech tackle. We don't know if he could be that guy. I mean, he's not Tommy Harris. You know, he's not that, you know, Warren Sapp. So we'll see what he can do. But, you know, as far as pressure up the middle, I'm not sure the Bears have that. I mean, it'd be nice if they could take advantage of the problems that you guys have, but I'm not sure about that. But as far as off the edge, Robert Quinn's there. You know, he has a lot of sacks. Al-Qaeda Muhammad, he brought over from the Colts. Travis Gibson, I think, had 7-8 sacks last year. So they got some guys off the edge, but it's up the gut where I think they're going to have some problems.
I know in San Francisco, Jalen Johnson's comments were taken by some to be kind of a little bit of trash talk towards Trey Lance. He said he's going to have to prove himself. Kind of, you know, pointed out like Trey can run, but he's going to have to prove himself to me. Is he kind of a trash talker, or was that just more kind of like a honest assessment of where things are?
I think he's very confident in his skills. This is his third season. He's improved, you know, every year he's been in the league. You know, he's looking to become one of the top corners in the game, and he thinks that of himself. I mean, whenever you talk, whenever he has interviews, you know, he talks about that. He wants to be one of the top corners in the game. You know, last year he started following guys, you know, right to left and in the slot. I'm not sure how much we'll see that with the new regime, you know, but Jalen Johnson is supremely confident in his abilities as a corner.
I like a guy with a little swag. Why not, man? Yeah. You got to have a little confidence to play this game. And let's be honest, Trey Lance, he's got 10 quarters under his belt. He kind of does have to prove himself.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I liked him coming out. I thought he was a good prospect. I was a little shocked he went where he went. You know, like I said, man, it's just a weird situation you guys got over there. But I think he's going to be a really good quarterback once he gets things established, if he's allowed to really thrive in that offense.
If I told you right now you could trade Justin Fields for Trey Lance, straight up, you'd do it?
Probably not, just because I think I've seen more on the NFL level from Fields. I think his college pedigree was a little higher than what Lance had. And like I said, it's just he's had a nice training camp. I mean, I had a chance to go out there and watch him a few times. That Browns game, yes, it was preseason, but he executed the offense flawlessly. This Luke Getsy system, man, it's so refreshing as a Bears fan to not see Matt Nagy's, you know, constant curl route short of the sticks every single play, stagnant routes. You know, he's not, you know, there are no pick plays. You know, nothing's on the move. You know, Luke Getsy's bringing this offense over, and you know, it's he learned it from Green Bay. It's the Shanahan-esque system, and I've always loved that scheme.
Yeah, it's nice to get the quarterback on the move, use play action passing, and get guys kind of in open space. It is refreshing because God knows in San Francisco, I've seen some bad offenses over the past 20 years, and I know you have in Chicago as well. Well, I'm rooting for Justin Fields. He seems like a great kid. I hope he doesn't really do particularly well on Sunday, but that's just me. The spread is Niners by 7. What do you like in this one?
I think the Bears could cover. I don't see him winning the game, though. I think the Niners are just too good of a team top to bottom. Yeah, they have a couple issues here and there, but you know, the Bears are in a reset mode. You know, they understand it. But with this being week one, you know, stranger things have happened. So if the Bears are going to steal the game, they're at home. This could be the time to do it.
I've said it all week. I want the Niners to get up double digits early. The longer you let the Bears hang around, they start to believe, and Fields is good enough that if they only need one or two plays, even if the Niners do everything right, he can still make those plays. That's what makes me nervous.
I'm a little nervous who he's going to throw to because we haven't seen his full complement of receivers the entire offseason. Pringle's just not coming back. Valus Jones is still hurt. It's pretty much been Mooney and Komet. You know, we got to see how everyone else works in there because, you know, it's a lot of unknowns at the receiver spot too, but you know, this is the offense. So the offense is there is no top guy. I mean, it's going to be Mooney, of course, because of the volume, but you know, they want to spread it out. Equanimeous St. Brown's going to have some chances. You know, Pringle's going to have some chances. They're going to do a lot of stuff with the tight end with Cole Kmet, and they're going to try and run the ball as much as possible with David Montgomery.
Going to be a Mooney on Mooney game. Charvarius Ward likes to go by Mooney. He's probably going to be matched up against Darnell Mooney all day.
And who has the edge in that matchup, in your opinion?
Well, supposedly Ward has been lights out unbelievable in training camp. Like, rave reviews from Debo and Ayuk and everybody. Now, he was banged up a little bit. He should be back in this one, but he's the 49ers' big free agent addition. He was like their prize of the offseason, the only guy they really spent any money on. He was desperately needed because their cornerbacks are not the deepest. So he's supposed to be their number one. Like, you got him to lock down the other team's number one. I think it'll be a nice test this week, because I think Darnell Mooney is an underrated receiver.
He is. I mean, the thing about him that a lot of fans don't realize, he's such a crisp route runner. And this guy, I mean, he's a nonstop worker. He puts the work in the entire year. You know, him and Fields, they did a bunch of stuff in the offseason together. You know, so he wants to be great. And he talks about it. That's why I said he has Fields' back. You know, but you know, he wants to be that elite type of receiver. You know, I mean, he's 5'10", you know, 180-ish. I'm not sure if he'll get there. But, you know, as far as the swagger, he has that as well.
That's what I like, a receiver. Ugly. I'm a child of the Terrell Owens generation, yeah, of course, I guess. Course, so yeah. I like a little swag. Lester Wilfrong from Windy City Gridiron, thank you very much for the time.
Anytime. Thanks so much.
Most of the time, we talk about tech in terms of a handful of gigantic companies like Google, Meta, and Apple. But some of the most interesting stuff we find online is the product of a single person.
When you're working on your own, I think there's this beauty of being able to come up with an idea and then implement it then in that moment. You don't have to have permission from someone else. There's no red tape.
In the Vergecast series, Solo Acts, we'll get to know these people, the tech they use to get stuff done, and the obstacles they face trying to compete with the giants.
Some people that I talk to and my friends are like, you know, your competitors are Zuckerberg and Musk. Like, aren't you kind of like afraid of that?
Every Monday, our friend Ashley Esqueda will be curating and hosting these interviews and sharing with us what she's learned.
I can't believe the McRib locator was originally a tornado locator.
Right.
Pretty wild.
Listen to our Solo Acts miniseries now in the Vergecast feed, anywhere you find podcasts.